Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 1 again. We actually last week went all the way through, not in great detail, but in some detail, Romans 1 verses 18 through 32. And remember what I said, this word, if you get nothing else for the next couple moments, get this. In chapter 1, verses 17 or 18 through chapter 3 and verse 20, God is exposing us through the Apostle Paul for what we are by nature.
Yeah.
Not what we used to be,
no, exactly.
But what we still are by nature, even though he's writing to chapter 1, God's people.
Amen.
God's people. I read this verse, and I do not intend on going back over chapter 1, but before I go into chapter 2, let me read the verse again. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
It's not the wrath of God will one day be revealed, though that's still true, but not what Paul's moved to write here.
Exactly.
He said the wrath of God is revealed. Is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And I'll stop right there for the moment. Now, pardon me a moment. You remember I told you, chapter 1, Paul declares that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in three ways. Man's perversion of the natural order. That's what we looked at last week. Chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. Also, God's wrath is revealed from heaven against man's finger pointing and self-justification. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 29. And we all still do it.
You're right.
Give you just a brief preview. You ever heard somebody say, well, so-and-so, she's a flirt.
Yeah. Hmm?
But I'm a people person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you saying? I'm a flirt too, but I'm not going to call myself a flirt. That's finger pointing. That's doing the same thing you accuse. Oh, here's one more. Here's one. That person, he's a tightwad. I'm frugal. All right, more of that, God willing, next time. Again, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The third thing, God's wrath is revealed from heaven because of man's universal, full, total, complete corruption.
Amen.
Right now, today, outside of Jesus Christ, I am still no good.
Yeah, exactly.
No righteousness.
Yep.
No seeking after God. No fear of God before my eyes.
Amen.
None whatsoever. You see, God's wrath, and I've said this over and over again, but I'll say it again, God's wrath is not an unfortunate response to man's sin. Which God must then grudgingly and reluctantly is forced into displaying. The title of my message is this, The Perfection of God's Wrath. The Perfection of God's Wrath. Think about this. Romans, Paul says it, God willing, if we're still here and that time we get there, Romans chapter 9, verses 18 through 24, in one of those verses, God says this through the Apostle Paul. What if God, willing to show his wrath?
Amen.
You see, wrath in God is not God losing his temper.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
But it is a measured act of God in divine justice against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men.
Amen.
It is the right thing for God to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
If God is God, and if God is just, and that's not an if of possible, not possible, but an if of absolute certainty, if God is God and God is just, he must punish all ungodliness and unrighteousness.
Amen.
All ungodliness and unrighteousness. Now, one preacher once said, this is not a quote, but it is a paraphrase. He said, when you preach to men and women, preach of their corruption. Preach of their corruption, but quickly run to the cross. Because if all we have is the message of corruption, we have no hope. And the cross of Christ is our only hope. I want to give you eight things about God's wrath. And I will give you these eight. I want to try to move quickly because the eighth thing is the most important. And I don't mean that in any way that the others are in any way unimportant. But the eighth is the crescendo. And of course, this is just a small list. And when I say, I'm not trying to say that there's different kinds of wrath. God's wrath, not wraths. Never is it God's wrath called wraths. It is always his wrath. So if I state it as though it sounds like a different wrath, it's just a misslip of my tongue. It's not what I intend. But let's go through these things. Let's move quickly. Now you can turn if you wish, but Exodus 22. Exodus chapter 22. And I'll make this statement, then I'll read it. God Almighty will show his wrath. Does show it. Not sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Not in that great day of his wrath. And that great day is coming one day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not denying that. But I'm saying that's not what Paul's talking about here in Romans 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
God's wrath is poured out against disobedience to his law. Look at chapter 22. what did I say? Yes, 22 and verse 22. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Oh, God help us not to say, well, they'll be okay. They can handle it without me. Look, if thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry it all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath, who's he speaking to? He's writing to his chosen nation, Israel.
Yes,
is he not? Yeah. Made up of both elect and reprobate, but he's not singling out the reprobate. He's telling them all this.
Yes, sir.
Right? Right? My wrath shall wax hot. And I will kill you with the sword, and your wives and your widows and your children fatherless. You see that? Fatherless. Think about it. God's wrath against human aid to him. I'm not going to turn back and read it, but you can read it in 2 Samuel 6, verses 6 through 9. Remember, David was bringing the ark back to Jerusalem with great fanfare. And he'd built, what was it, a new cart, and had oxen that had never pulled a cart before, which is probably not a good idea. But nevertheless, this is what they were dancing and having the party. And that ark sitting up on that cart. And them oxen stumbled and the cart began to rock. And it looked like the ark may fall off the cart. And was it Uzzah?
Yeah.
Stuck up his hand to steady the ark. And God was angry with Uzzah. And killed him dead.
Amen.
And it says David was afraid of God that day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and David was displeased too.
Yes, sir.
God rained on his parade.
Exactly.
But you don't help God. If something is said to be of the Lord, take your hands off.
Yeah, there you go.
Take your hands off. Because God will reveal his wrath from heaven against such ungodliness and unrighteousness. Number three, God's disgust with unbelievers. Psalm 7. It's not really a chapter, is it? Psalm chapter 7. God's disgust with unbelievers. Verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry. You remember one of the meanings for the word wrath? To be angry with. God is angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
You see that? God has hatred, wrath toward the wicked every day. Every day. Fourthly, God's wrath reveals his eternal living veracity. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. I am, along with our brother the Apostle Paul, trying to expose what we are down in here. But I'm trying to get to the cross. Look at it, Jeremiah 10 and verse 10. Am I in the right place? Yes, Jeremiah 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. Remember what I said? Amen. His wrath reveals his eternal living veracity. God must show wrath, not out of compulsion outside of himself, but it flows from within his holy character against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Living God, an everlasting King, at his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. You will not stop God's wrath.
Amen.
You will not stop God's wrath. Here is the fifth thing. God is no doting, helpless, emotional grandpa. I realize that's not the most eloquently put point, but look at Ephesians chapter 5 and what the Apostle Paul writes about it to our brothers and sisters of Ephesus and to us. Ephesians 5 verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words.
Yeah.
For because of these things, what? Unrighteousness and ungodliness.
Yeah. Exactly.
Actually, Romans chapter 1 lists a bunch of them. We went through those last week, didn't we? Look at it. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Amen.
Be ye not therefore partakers with them.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
Do you see that? Number six, even Christ the redeeming Lamb is not absent of wrath. I'm not going to read that. It's a little lengthy. And I know if I start reading it, I'll start making way too many statements. Revelation 12 through 17, it's even called the wrath of the Lamb. That seems to be opposition, does it not?
Yeah.
But it's not, because God is one.
Amen.
God is one. Amen. God don't have two sides, and I can't explain. He has one side.
Amen.
And all of his perfections fit together in perfect harmony.
Yes. Yes, sir.
In perfect harmony. You could preach on that for months. For months. Number seven, Christ's wrath is promised against his elect enemies. His elect's enemies. Let me read that one. I do want to make a couple statements. Romans chapter 12. God willing, we'll get there and look at it in more detail later. Romans 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. That's hard to do.
You're right.
Yea, it's impossible to do in a Christ-honoring way apart from the Spirit of God. We can put on a show, but deep down inside it's like, really, God, I hope you get them. Huh? Makes us sound pretty righteous when we ask God to do it. You don't have to ask God to do it. Why? Look, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, this is God speaking, vengeance. And there's where the one word wrath is, the word wrath is translated vengeance in this book. Wrath is mine. This is God's promise. I will repay, saith the Lord. God will deal with our enemies.
Amen.
God will deal with our enemies.
Exactly.
And he'll do so in justice.
Yes.
Because his wrath is just.
Amen.
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Remember, overcoming evil with good is not you make sure results come to pass, but just do evil, good in the face of evil, and let God deal with the results.
Amen.
He will repay, whether it's his wrath is revealed from heaven now, or whether it's dealt with in the last day.
Yeah. You're right.
One or the other.
That's right.
So as I said, wrath against disobedience to the law, wrath against human aid, disgust with unbelief. God's wrath reveals his eternal living veracity. God is no doting, helpless grandpa. Even Christ the Lamb is not absent of wrath. Christ's wrath is promised against his elect enemies. Now turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. Now I knew I was going there, so I got mine marked, so I'm there already. But I want you to turn there if you're turning. And it's just a few books back from the last few books. It's four or five books back. Habakkuk, turn to chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 2. O Lord, this is Habakkuk speaking. And Habakkuk is a book mainly of judgment. There's a lot of judgment pronounced by God through Habakkuk. But look what he says. Oh Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. Amen. You see that? Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. You see it? Revive thy work in the midst of the years. And I know most people that I used to hear ever preach from this verse is about bring us a revival. Let us have a good old-fashioned gospel revival. People get under Holy Spirit conviction. Well, I'd like to see that come too.
Yes, sir.
But that's not what Habakkuk's talking about here. Look at what he says. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Oh, look at this. In the midst of the years, make known. Here it is. In wrath, remember mercy. Notice what it actually says.
Yeah. Yeah.
In wrath. Not instead of wrath.
No. That's right.
Although there's senses in which we may say that's true.
Yeah.
If God's merciful to me, it's because he hasn't poured out his wrath on me.
Yeah, exactly.
But bless God, his wrath's going to be poured out against all ungodliness and unrighteousness.
Yeah. Amen.
It's going to. Mm-hmm. Sin has to be dealt with. Sin has to be dealt with. God must punish sin. His wrath is revealed and shall be revealed one day in a final swoop against all unrighteousness and ungodliness. In wrath, remember mercy. It's not have mercy instead of wrath because God is willing to show his wrath.
Amen.
It's not after wrath, then remember mercy. No, it's in wrath. And it sounds... When I first read that, it took me aback. I mean, I could feel my mind like stepping back from the page. And so what?
Yeah.
What? In wrath, remember mercy? It's not in wrath as opposed to mercy, or in mercy as opposed to wrath. God must deal in wrath against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And he has, is, and shall.
Amen.
And he will either deal with my ungodliness and unrighteousness in me, deal with it in me personally, or he will deal with it he has dealt with it in the blessed person of his Son. Awake, O sword, against the man that is my fellow. Smite. Does that sound like love to you? No. And yes. Because in wrath, he was remembering mercy. Because while he poured out his holy, indignant wrath upon his Son, he was being merciful to those the Son stood for when he poured out his wrath. Christ is the burnt offering. He wasn't a barbecue.
That's right.
Now, I'm not being flippant. A barbecue, you take the meat and you roast it and you cook it and you partake of the meat, right?
That's right.
The burnt offering was consumed. There was nothing left but ash.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you get it? In wrath, Habakkuk's crying out for the Messiah, folks.
Yes, sir.
He's crying out for that work. And though he did not have the advantage we've got today of the New Testament and the new covenant being clearly unfolded with inspired writers, he knew, Paul, that one's coming. Joe, that one's coming.
Amen.
That seed of the one, that's who all believers were looking for.
Yes, sir.
Think about it. 400 years, God gave no outward witness to his glory after Malachi, did he?
Yeah.
And yet there was a man called Simeon that was looking for God's salvation.
Amen.
And he realized, that who was preaching the gospel right then?
Yeah.
Not too many people, but somebody evidently was, Mason.
Yeah.
Somebody had some light, did they not?
Sure.
And that old man picked up that little baby in his arms and said, Lord, I could die now. You kill me now.
Yeah.
For mine eyes have seen thy salvation.
Amen.
And God didn't forego his wrath. He didn't become, Joe, less holy.
Exactly.
He poured out his complete holy vengeance and wrath upon his son, and he burnt him to a crisp.
Yeah.
He turned his back
on
the son.
Yeah.
Because his son had in his body our unrighteousnesses and our ungodlinesses.
Amen.
And God poured out his wrath against the son.
Amen.
He cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But yet he goes immediately and says, but thou art holy. He wasn't asking because he didn't know. He was asking as our substitute, folks.
Yes, sir.
He knew why he was being punished with the wrath of God.
That's right.
Because he felt, he experienced our sins in his own body on the tree. God, the Father turned his back on the Son, and the bones were consumed.
Amen.
And the meat was consumed, and nothing but a pile of ash lay there.
That's right.
And God didn't spare one ounce of his wrath against the ungodliness and the unrighteousness that he put on his Son on that tree. Now, if that don't make you rejoice, you don't have no life from God. But if that gives you just a little ray of hope,
yes, sir.
Just a little ray of hope, then just maybe, God Almighty's given you eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to perceive. And while you know you're just as bad as everybody else, because all too often, you make great praise of God with your lips, but your old man is completely far away from God. And all too often, you sick the old man on yourself and say, let's do what he wants to do. Huh?
Right.
Do we ever do that? Oh, yeah. If God's opened your eyes and your ears and given your heart, you can't read through Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 and say, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me. And thus we know. We, those whom God has saved, they can relate with the Apostle Paul when he says, oh, wretched man that I am. You see it? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who? Thank God if you know it's a who.
Amen.
And not a what. And thank God if you know the who is Jesus Christ and not yourself or somebody else.
Amen.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And folks, he gives us, I don't mean to be flippant. I don't mean that. I just don't have the best words. You can think about words all day long. I don't think any of them really said. The wretched man's always there. But when God Almighty, through the truth of his word, whether you're hearing somebody like me preach or you're reading the Bible yourself, if he's opened your eyes, your ears, and given you a heart to perceive, or you're reading a message that maybe printed, a man wrote 300, 400, 500 years ago. And you read, it gives you a little bit of deliverance when you hear that Christ is a friend of publicans and sinners. Isn't it? He says, come unto me and take all you that labor and are heavy laden. And it don't mean you're working for your salvation. It means God's put the burdens of what you really are. God's exposed you for yourself. And you can't get away from it. When you pray, your mind is filled with sin. And you end up finding out you're praying just for your own lust. Doesn't James tell us people, the people of God? James wasn't talking to a bunch of rebels. He was talking to believers. When he said, you ask amiss and you don't receive because you ask amiss, you're consuming of your own lust. Oh God, I want to see so and so saved. You ever pray, oh God, I pray you want to see so and so saved. What are we using to do? I want this. I want that. Oh God, do. Oh, and Lord, if it's your will. Maybe that's the way we usually pray. Now come on, let's be honest. But aren't you glad that the Spirit of God also, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray for, but he helpeth them infirmities, huh? Makes intercession for us. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, Paul goes on to say these words. Look at it. Joe read from it. Verse 24, chapter 3, being justified, how? Freely. Now, it's not free altogether. It's free on our behalf. It's free from our side.
Yes, sir.
It cost Christ living in a human body. Did it not?
Yes, sir.
It cost Christ coming down to this world and being hated and rejected, even of his own people to start with. His elect.
Yes.
His elect.
Yes, sir.
Oh, but he knew the glory that should follow.
Amen.
And think of it. He will eternally, Mason, be a man in glory.
Amen.
That boggles my mind. Why did he do that? Because he loved us that. All right, let's stand and sing 138. 138.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote his sacred head for such a worm as I?
Verse 2.
Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned up on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree.
Verse 3.
Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin.
Verse 4.
But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do.
The chorus.
He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me because he loves me so.